بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن العظيم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنما المؤمنون إخوة، الآية، صدق الله العظيم. وفي الحديث أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: المسلم أخو المسلم، الحديث، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected علماء، حفاظ، elders and dear friends، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His countless blessings and mercies upon us, the greatest of which is the gift of Iman and the membership of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us life with Iman and death with Iman. Respected elders and dear friends, this gift of Iman, which accompanies the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that is indispensable. It is something that is indispensable for our success, our happiness, our joy, our salvation in this world and in the Akhirah. And to the extent of our adherence to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be the extent of our success. That will be the extent of our contentment. That will be the extent of our joy and happiness. And if we fall short in our adherence, then to that extent we will see that we will fall short in all those goals and objectives that we seek to acquire. One cornerstone of this beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I would like to share and discuss as a reminder firstly to myself is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse of the Holy Quran: إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ. المؤمنون means the believers. إخوة means brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ. The believers are nothing but brothers. They are nothing less than brothers unto one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say al-mu'minuna ikhwa, which means simply that the believers are brothers. He said innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. This word innama in this verse means that the word mu'minun and ikhwa are inseparable, to put it simply. If you are a believer, then it is a requirement of Iman that every other believer, every other mu'min is your brother. And a person who claims to be a mu'min, yet he does not believe himself to be a brother of the other believers, then there is a deficiency and discrepancy in his Iman. There is a weakness in his Iman. So today I would like us to just reflect and ponder over the reality of this brotherhood within our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as human beings, as social creatures, as social creatures that need and require social interaction to function normally. If you were to take a person and lock him up in a room, that would be a form of punishment, which they mete out to perpetrators of severe crimes sometimes. So we are social creatures, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in this ummah as members of the ummah. We are all believers and worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our individual capacities, but we cannot be complete believers without ascribing ourselves as members of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that is intrinsic to Iman. It is inseparable from Iman. The brotherhood that exists between the believers. Now the point of reflection, respected elders and dear friends, is how strong is that brotherhood? And does it even exist? You see, when a person has love for someone in his heart, a person loves his child, he loves his parent, he loves his friend, he loves his spouse, he loves his car or his home. When his eyes behold that person or that thing that he loves, then it creates some emotion in his heart. It creates some happiness in his heart. And if he were to see that beloved in some tribulation and in some difficulty, then his heart will feel pain. His heart will feel sadness. His heart will feel grief. And this is a simple example, but this is the ideal situation that a Muslim is supposed to find himself in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, with regards to the believers, what does he say? That al-mu'minuna ka jasadin wahid. The believers are like one body. Ka jasadin wahid. It is even, you know, further than the example we mentioned. Al-mu'minuna ka jasadin wahid. The believers are like a single body. In ishtaka ba'duhu ishtaka kullu. If one portion of the body is suffering from some ailment or some pain, the entire body suffers as a result of the fever and the pain. If a person has a simple toothache, he is unable to function normally, and he cannot sleep, he cannot work properly, because that pain consumes him and, you know, occupies all his energies and his concentration. So this is what the believer should be like. That when a believer, a Muslim, knows and becomes aware of the plight of a fellow believer that is in some difficulty, some challenging situation, then he should cringe. He should feel the pain. And that emotion, that pain would spark a reaction. And what would that be? Just as if you saw your son in some difficulty, you would rush to their assistance and their aid. And you would do whatever is in your capacity to remove them from that particular difficulty. And if you are utterly hopeless, the least you would do is make dua for them. This is what our situation should be like. And it is upon us to reflect, is this really our condition? Is this, are we meeting these requirements that we ought to meet as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just to mention a few characteristics that ought to be found in the Muslim for his fellow Muslim. The first is that of love. This connection, this brotherhood gives rise to love. Now we know that we attend a certain masjid, whether it is this masjid or another masjid, inshallah, on a daily basis. And we often walk in and out for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, as long as we are residing in that community. And how often we find that we're living in this area for so long, yet a person who has been living here for a couple years, or just as long as us, we don't even know his name. We don't even know his name. We have no idea about his background, his situation. Yet, he is in the masjid with us. We see him every day. And when we don't see him, you know, it doesn't spark any reaction from us. Nonetheless, this is just an example. So, this love ought to exist in a believer, that when he sees another believer, then that spark of love, that flame of love ought to ignite and start burning in his heart, that connection ought to be there. And in this regard, some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to give light to the matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter Jannah until you believe, until you have true iman. ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you will not have true iman until you have mutual love between yourselves. Not as family members, not as parents and siblings, but as an ummah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not inform you of a recipe to create this love between yourselves? أَفْشُ السَّلَامُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make salam commonplace amongst you. So this is a recipe to create love. And this is something that we should be implementing in our lives. Make salam with every person that you meet, every believer that you meet, make salam with them. And that will create love in our hearts and revive that spark, that love that ought to exist in our hearts for each other. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things, if found in a person, he will find the sweetness of iman. He will taste the sweetness of iman through the existence of these three things. And one of them is, أَيُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. He loves his fellow Muslim, for no other reason except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will find and taste the sweetness of iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a reality for us. And in the famous hadith that we all know, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are seven categories of people who will be fortunate to have the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. One of those seven categories is رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ. Two men, two people who love each other for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they meet for the pleasure of Allah. When they part for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah. So this is the essence of our relationships between myself as a believer and any other ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a relationship of love. And we need to assess, is that love found within our hearts and in our lives? When we see a believer in difficulty, and you know, normally when we think of difficulty, we think of material difficulty, materialistic difficulty, dunyawi difficulties. That is also one form of difficulty. And we can use it as an example. When we see a believer, whoever it may be, in some unfortunate circumstances, do we at least feel pain in our hearts for them? And does that pain push us to do something? To assist them in whatever way we can, and it ought to. And this will be a sign of this love for believers coming and shining in our hearts. One of the reasons why we find that we have sort of become disconnected with each other. We know that families are breaking, let alone relationships between people who are just Muslims. One of the reasons for this is our assimilation and absolute integration with the kuffar and with Western culture. One of the fundamental ideologies in Western culture is that of individualism. Individualism means simply that everything revolves around the individual. The choices, the desires, the preferences of the individual. And that what drives his decisions and drives policy. And on the other hand, you have another extreme of absolute collectivism where there is no importance whatsoever given to the individual. As long as the so-called perceived benefits for the collective are met, the individual sacrifices and collateral damage are irrelevant. So these are two extremes, but Islam is always the middle path between all extremes. So Islam preserves the rights of the individual, but at the same time, the overriding factor is collective benefit, the interests of the ummah. So we have been, you know, sucked and consumed and pulled into this black hole of Western culture, where we now see ourselves making our decisions and choices based on our individual needs with no regard for the impact on the rest of society and the rest of the ummah. And this is also driven by the desire for more, the materialism and the desire to have more and to enjoy more without concerning ourselves too much with the situation of others. And this is no secret, because we see, and we are all witness to this, that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues to undergo persecution, continues to suffer. Every year or every couple of months we see an additional set of Muslims being subject to persecution, subject to trouble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove every difficulty that faces the Muslim ummah throughout the world. So we see this, we witness this, yet there is a trend that our lives continue to become more lavish. We continue to become more extravagant. We spend more excessively on things which are not necessities. Yet we could have channeled those resources into various other avenues which would uplift even one member of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, where a person is blessed with the means by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing stopping him from using that to the best of his ability in living a comfortable life. But there is a line, a very fine line, that sometimes becomes blurred, and we step over that line into extravagance and excessiveness, and that is where we should not be heading. And it is something for each one of us. It is not for us to point fingers, but it is for each individual to reflect and to see, where am I crossing this line, and how better can I use these resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed at my disposal to uplift humanity, to uplift the Muslim ummah. Nonetheless, so the first characteristic we mentioned is that of love. We ought to have love for one another. And this is a sign of Iman. Without this love, then there is a weakness and discrepancy and deficiency in our Iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. You have not truly believed, none of you have truly believed, until he does not love for his brother what he loves for himself. So we need to really reflect over this, and search and find that love and revive it and connect ourselves with every Muslim that we know, every Muslim that we see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice. Another characteristic of a Muslim in respect of his fellow brother is that he wants good for him. He wants good for him. He has goodwill in his heart for every Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "Ad-dinu an-nasiha." And this is a very famous hadith. Ad-dinu an-nasiha. Deen is sometimes translated as deen is advice. But nasiha means goodwill, where you have a desire for good for every single person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ad-dinu an-nasiha." The Sahaba asked, "For who? For who should we have nasiha?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immatil muslimina wa 'ammatihim." For Allah and His Messenger, and for the leaders of the Muslims and the general masses of the Muslims. An-nasiha, goodwill. And again, our consistent pursuit of material pleasures diverts us and distracts us from this, because we are seeking our own comforts and our own joys and forgetting about the rest. We are only pursuing our own interests, but we need to redirect ourselves. We need to broaden our horizons and our scope to see how we can include the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our interests, in our passions. And that is how every one of us will draw ourselves out from the pursuit of material wealth and be able to divert our attention to how we can restore the glory of the ummah. So this is the second characteristic. The first is love. The second is goodwill. And they are all interconnected. Another is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Asr. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Asr? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Mankind is at a loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And engage in good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That they encourage each other on truth, on haqq, and on perseverance, on adopting patience. In another verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The believing men and women are unto other close allies and friends. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They command each other to do good deeds, and they forbid each other from practicing evil deeds. So this is another characteristic of a Muslim. It is something that is part, you know, it's part of our function as a believer. That when you see a fellow Muslim, then you encourage him to do good deeds. You take him with you for salah. You don't have it in your heart that, hey, see, he's not even bothered about his salah. Take him with you. Encourage him. Ask him in a nice way. Take him with you. And when you're seeing him doing an evil deed, then encourage him to leave it. Advise him to leave it out. Don't simply look back and say, look at this. Look at the Muslims today. They are all wasted. No, this is not the attitude of a believer. This is not what the love that ought to exist in our hearts dictates. It dictates that we have concern, that we do what we can. We take every step, every measure that is possible to save the Muslim ummah from the whatever evil it is involving. And we engage in dua. We engage in dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous verses of the Holy Quran gives us this guidance that we ought to make dua for the believing men and women. In the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbi ghfirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'mineen. In the incident of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and in the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, the same dua is made for the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Seek forgiveness for your sins and for the sins of the believing men and women. So this is the love that ought to exist. This is the connection that ought to exist between members of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are too many barriers that exist between us. Barriers of race, barriers of nationality, barriers of social influence and social status, barriers of economic and financial status. But there is no barrier between the heart of any Muslim and his fellow Muslim. It is a direct bond that is established with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us revive that love. Let us find that love. When we see our Muslim brother, even if he may be doing something wrong,
the love will dictate that you do what it takes to take him out of there. When you see him in a difficulty, the love will dictate that you do what it takes to alleviate and remove that difficulty he finds himself in. So let us make a commitment to ourselves, respected elders and dear friends, that we will find that love. We will revive that love. We will find every reason to associate ourselves with every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will find every reason to prohibit people from creating groups, creating factions, creating barriers between the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the ummah, as one, we will rise, but as long as we continuously break ourselves into smaller pieces and groupings, then we will be broken and we will not be able to rise as one ummah, as all followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive love in our hearts for every Muslim, whoever it may be. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.